Mark chapter 12, starting at verse 41, and the message today is money. And he sat down over against the treasury and beheld how the multitude cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a poor widow, and she cast in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, this poor widow cast in more than all they that are casting into the treasury. For they all did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. And just another portion in Luke chapter 17. There's so many scriptures I want to bring to your attention, but I'll just read Luke 19, starting at verse 1. And he entered and was passing through Jericho, and behold, a man called by name Zacchaeus, and he was a chief publican, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the crowd, because he was little of stature. And he ran on before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, He is gone in to lodge with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have wrongfully exacted aught of any man, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, Today is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that nothing is overlooked that concerns our lives in relation to you. We are thankful that you tell us about heaven and things to come, and we are thankful that you tell us about earth and the responsibilities that are ours down here. We pray, Father, that we shall not be those who think of that which is above and beyond and forget the responsibilities that are ours here and now upon earth. But our God, we shall be Christians that are mature, that are fully developed, that understand the blessings that come from God and the responsibilities that are placed upon us by God as well. Let us know the scriptures that we've read, the others in thy will that we want to bring to the attention of these who are here. So by your Spirit, enable this and empower and prepare hearts. And our Father, we confess our sins, be faithfully just to forgive and cleanse, as you promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I told you how I learned about one of the assembly distinctives, personally, just after I was first saved. I've never been to a remembrance meeting before, and Brother Edwards took me there, and I saw how different it was, and that day I learned that it was an assembly distinctive, because I'd gone to many services before, but never one of that nature. And in like manner, the distinctive that I'm to tell you about today was brought to my attention, not personally, but by one of my relatives. As you know, at times, for the novelty of it, they will come from Raleigh over here and listen to me, and sometimes when I'm in Raleigh, they will come and listen to me. And one of them had come for the first time to 11 o'clock service, and when I finished preaching, all of them were speaking to me, but one of them stood there and was thinking and thinking and said, something was missing. Something was missing from that service. I can't think what it was. And finally she said, now I know. They didn't pick up a collection. That was distinctive. And that has been, of past years, a distinctive among the assemblies. Money. The way they deal with it, the way they look upon it, and I've seen some brothers at times come and say, the brethren are the hardest people in the world to give money to. Amen. May it ever stay that way. Unless you're a child of God and you come to the remembrance meeting. It's a very simple thing to give money to God. But if you are unsaved in the assemblies, and I'm speaking of the distinctives of the past, and I trust they shall be maintained today, yes, it is hard to give money to the brethren, because if you do not know Christ as your Savior, we do not want your money. We will not take your money. And if you are a Christian and you do not come to remember the Savior, it is hard to give money to the brethren. But some of you have weakened and you'll put little boxes at the back and put words like these, saved people or brethren or Christians can give as they are led. But I would make it more difficult and make them come to the assembly and break bread to get money. However, you must remember this, that the position that I'm telling you about is not one that is taken by all of those that are in the assemblies, because I know one, and you knew him, he's with the Lord now, and his attitude was this way. When a project was going on, and money was needed, and a sinner came up to him and said, I'm interested in this project that you're carrying on, and I want to give money to you. Will you accept it? And his reply was, why, of course, the devil has been in control of your money long enough. Now, we can laugh at it, but it is something that would break the heart of God and is repulsive. You say, how can that be? When you see a creature of God, saved or not, coming up wanting to give to God, why, God must be pleased. The Bible says in Proverbs 15 and in Proverbs 21, the sacrifice, the gift of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord. You say, well, I'm not wicked. Are you righteous? You say, no, I haven't been born again. Then you are lost, you are undone, you are a sinner, you are wicked, you are estranged from God. And whether you are religiously estranged from God or wickedly estranged from God, then what you give to God is an abomination to the Lord. because you have no place. God expects nothing of you. And he says, if you do give it to him, it is an abomination unto him. You say, how could such a thing be? Why, do you not realize that it was the lesson that the first human being that was ever born had to learn from God? Cain, in Genesis chapter 4, came and offered a sacrifice to God. And God said, I do not want it. You have to give the way I want you to give, and you have to give what I want you to give. Now, do what is right. I do not want your gift. To say, as early as the first human being, yes, notice. In this instance, it is not the first human being withholding from God, but it's the first human being that is of the evil one. That's what John tells us in chapter 3 of his first epistle. Not as Cain, who was the evil one, and this evil one came, and yet he wanted to give to God. And God said, I do not want it. And therefore, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord. And that's the way God feels about it. Now, am I to say, well, that's the way that God feels about it, but the devil's had it long enough, and so we'll take it now. Don't you understand that we can laugh at that? But when you think it through, it is an insult to God. And so think of God's attitude, and at the same time, think of the attitude of the faithful servants of God. It says this in the third epistle of John, that they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles, those that were alienated from God. They took nothing from the Gentiles. You say, that is a remarkable thing. Of course, and that's the way that the brethren felt. That was one of their distinctives in the past. And it also says this. Listen to this beautiful verse in 2 Corinthians 8. Speaking of the churches of Macedonia that want to give, Paul said, not as we hoped, but first they gave themselves to the Lord and to us. And then they gave of their substance. Do you see? First, they gave themselves to God, and then they gave of their substance. And God said yes. Now, I'm going to put it in a light where I know you will agree with me. Here is a sinner, and he comes to God, and he says to God, I don't want anything to do with the Son that you gave to die for me on the cross. I'm not taking him as Savior. But here is something I want to give to you. How does that sound? You say, that's not my attitude. Oh, but it is. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And you say, I don't want your gift. But you take my gift. First they gave themselves to God, and then they gave of their substance. And you say, God, I love you only if you've been saved, because we love him because he first loved us. And those that have learned the principles that I've given from the Old Testament and from the New Testament, you will take that stand and you will not be swayed by all the modern tendencies of the world and of the brethren, and they're getting away from it now. Why? Because, whereas the things I'm talking about were unthinkable in the past, but now I have some of the commended brethren writing letters to me asking for money. Such a thing has never been heard of until late. I recall this, that on one occasion, a brother who was on the foreign field was sending in a report, and he said, we have to travel many miles, and there is a river that is quite wide and deep. There's no bridge. He said, and we could reach more people and have more hours with them, but we have no way to get across that river without a boat. And then went on. And the president in charge rebuked the man for even mentioning such a thing. You see? Now, in my case, I'm only this good. If you ask me about my worth, and then you said, well, is there anything that facilitate that work? I would say, yes, if I had a boat to get across that river. I wouldn't tell you about it at first, but if you, in the course of the conversation that was brought up, I would tell you. But some are of such a degree of dependence upon God that they would mention absolutely nothing about it. And so they did not initiate it, but even if it were mentioned, they would say nothing. It would have to be found out. And somehow, they were provided for by the Lord. Whether they sent out letters and begged, or whether they went into their closet and made secret prayer unto God, petition asking, oh God, I want to serve your people. I need more time there. You understand. And then God would answer that prayer. But some have more integrity than others, and some have more delicate feelings than others. It's like this, to show you the delicacy of it. There was one missionary years ago who wanted to send a gift to someone on the foreign field, and an airmail stamp would have cost a few cents more, and a regular stamp would have cost less. And so he took the difference and sent a regular stamp and put the other few pennies on the gift that he sent to the missionary. And I remember Peter Pell telling me on one occasion, he said, at times, he said, I've been without funds. And when I was in someone's house and I had no money, he said, I felt a little strange, but I would go up and say, do you happen to have a postage stamp? There are others who would never say such a thing. And so I want you to understand that in the past, money has been a distinctive among the people of God. But it is not an optional thing. It should be something that is taught and practiced by all the people of God. Because your giving to God, once you've been born again, is not an option, but it is a responsibility. You say, we are to give willingly, not grudgingly or of necessity, true. But I want to bring some things to your attention, and this is very important, because you say, in the Old Testament, they gave the tithe. But our high priest is Melchizedek. We're not under the law, under Aaron, but our high priest is Melchizedek. And once you say that, you've destroyed yourself, because it says in Genesis 14 and Hebrews 7, that Abraham gave a tithe, 10%, unto Melchizedek. And so Melchizedek, your high priest, demands a tenth, is worthy of a tenth, as well as Aaron in the Old Testament. And then also, it speaks about what God thinks that we should do, but when he does tell us of it, hints are given here and there, but no exact amount is given, because he expects you to think this through. So keep this in mind. About giving, it is not optional, but it is something that is demanded of God, like this do in remembrance of me. And God says, you are to give. I'll tell you a few things about that now. That is why I read Luke chapter 19 and Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a man that was alienated from God, and having chosen a despised profession, tax gathering, for the Romans of his own people, he was despised and he thought that no one cared for him, but the Lord Jesus cared for him. And he went up into that sycamore tree to see who Jesus was, and the Savior called him down, and he went into his home. And the moment that Zacchaeus trusted Christ as his Savior, because the Savior said, today is salvation come to this house, he said, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've wrongfully exacted aught of any man, I restore fourfold. I want you to realize that as soon as Saul of Tarsus was saved, the mark that he was saved was, behold, he prayeth. And the mark that Zacchaeus was saved was, behold, he giveth. And so a bent knee is a sign that you truly trusted God, and an open hand giving to God is a sign that you're truly saved. And this is what God expects of you. And I've never seen a spiritual Christian who has not been generous with what he gave to God, whatever reputation they might have had. Unless they were generous in giving to God, they had no reputation. And our message this morning is money, and tonight, in the will of God, it shall be ministers. And I'm telling you some things about the two because they seem to be inseparable, money and ministers. But concerning these things, I've seen those in the ministry, and I've been ashamed of them, like at times when you mention the boat, and then I say, yes, a boat would be helpful, and I talk more than I should about it. I've been ashamed. But then I've been ashamed of other brethren also, and the way that they have to do with money. Not ministering brethren, but just ordinary brethren. I've been so ashamed. I'm going to tell you these things, because these also at times are assembly distinctives. I think of two things, and I think of this one who, when he came to church, he never gave. And why do you never give? He said, there are plenty of people in church that have lots of money. Let them give. Why should I give? I don't make as much money as they do. What do you think of that attitude? Why do you think I read to you about that poor widow woman who cast in two mites? What should she have said? What am I doing thinking of giving money to God? Look at all of these rich people that are casting in. But that was his attitude. They're rich people. Let them support the things of God. I'm not going to give them my money. And I've been with others, and some things you cannot help but seeing, and I want you to realize that when you give, Jesus looks at what you give, and he knows when you do not give. I read you that in Mark chapter 12. I was sitting next to this brother, and he was well-to-do, and when the offering went by, he put in nothing. And afterwards, I grew bold, and I said, why did you not give anything to this meeting? I said, you've come here, they've entertained you, they've fed you, this building has to be kept up, why did you give nothing? And he couldn't open his mouth. It was just that he wasn't going to give his money to God. And no matter what his reputation might have been, I know what he was. I know what he was spiritually. And I will tell you about this too also. I remember years ago being with a man who was boasting in the presence of others about the tens of thousands of dollars that he had. And then he came up to me and he said, I know you ministers have needs. He said, and what I want to do today is to give you some money so that you can buy lunch. And he shook my hand. And so I went to the restaurant, and I looked at the menu, and a bowl of soup and a sandwich was maybe $4 or $5. And I reached in my pocket and looked what he gave me, and it was a dollar bill. I can laugh. But what do you think the man's spiritual stature was that had tens of thousands of dollars and he could boast? And he was exercised to give me something that wouldn't even buy soup and a sandwich. What do you think of that man? You say, I'm afraid I know about that man. Yes. And what is so sad is that if I knew what you gave or what you did not give, and please notice, not only whether you give or do not give, but the amount that you give in relation to what you are worth is observed by the eye of Jesus Christ. And so, for that widow woman to give a dollar would have been a phenomenal amount. But for this man to give a dollar was an insult to God and an insult to the servant of God. You remember that. But now I'm going to tell you something else that you've never known before. I told you about our dear brother James' letters. The wrath, the awful wrath that Jesus felt for me, verse 2 salt me, thank God for every remembrance of me. But this is something you do not know. That each Lord's Day, when I would get through preaching, he would come up with a small gift in his hand and shake my hand and say, brother, that was a blessing. You see? You say, well, why do you say such a thing? Now, you're asking for money. You know that that is not true. And all the years I've ever come, I've never spoken to you on money before. You told me to speak to you about money. You said, assembly distinctives, and that's the only way you will get me to speak about money. And one of the distinctives is this, and it used to be in the past, and Peter Pell told me that it was vanishing when I first preached with him 35 or 40 years ago. The personal exercise of heart. You say, well, the assembly will take care of it. The personal exercise of heart. I wanted to read you also in Luke chapter 8 about certain women that followed the Lord Jesus and ministered unto him, and no doubt his disciples as well, of their substance. There was an individual looking at the needs of the people of God, and it was a ministering to those needs. And you realize this, that even though I'm in a position where I am to receive for what I do, and I will tell you about this in the will of God tonight, it says in 1 Corinthians 9, they that preach the gospel should live of the gospel. It says in the Old Testament that even Aaron and the Levites that received tithes were expected of God to give their tithes. And therefore, it is expected of me to give as well as to receive. And that is one of the joys that I have as a child of God, is that of giving to those that are in need, the needs of the people of God. Now, I'm talking about personal exercise because some of you never think of such things. You say, personal exercise of heart? Yes. In Galatians 6, it says this. It speaks about, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. If you are taught in the word, then the word communicate is to have fellowship with him that teaches. Now, what does that mean? There was a brother that came to me again and again and again, and I taught him hour after hour after hour. And for 1-2 years, he never gave me anything. And then, after 2 years, I received a letter, and he said, it suddenly dawned upon me. He said, when I teach, I always require people to give me money. You've been teaching me for years, and you've never said one word about it, but I feel guilty, and my heart is exercised to give to you, because it says in Galatians chapter 6, that him that is taught in all good things have fellowship with him that does the teaching. And I said, praise God. Now, tell me, should I have told him the first time, I'm not going to teach you anything unless you pay me every time? Tell me, what would you have thought of me? He would say, no. How mercenary, how unchristlike. But I committed it to God and waited, and after 1 or 2 years, it finally dawned upon this brother, what I've been doing is wrong. Like it dawned upon those lepers who came upon the army that had left behind riches when their nation was starving to death, and they were taking everything for themselves, and suddenly said, "Why, we're not doing well. Why, this is a day of good tidings, and we've got to share this with the brethren." I mention those things for this reason: the great blessing that is ours in being privileged to give to the people of God when we are blessed by them. Because I'll tell you in the will of God more later about those to whom we should give, but I'm mentioning this now because it is one of the requirements that God puts forth in His Word and the great joy that's mine. Now, I see some of you, and I know your faces, but some of you have had me in your home and have shown me hospitality, and some of you never have. Which ones do you think I will remember better? Yes, of course, and I remember their names. And why do you think I remember James Leathers? Anyone that is individually exercised about you, you remember them. If they show you hospitality, if they give you a cup of cold water, do you not understand that this is of God? And the Savior says, they shall in no wise lose their reward. God marks those things down. Now, the privilege is this, that until you are saved, God doesn't want anything that you have. There is the responsibility, and I understand it, I can't go into it now, about the creature and his creator, and also about taking from those that are not saved. When Paul and the Romans were in that shipwreck, they were cast on an island and they needed warmth and provision, and they took things from people. We can't go into that now. But I'm talking about those who have become children of God, and now one of the great joys is being able to give back to the people of God, the needs of God. Think of this, that God would take anything from you. It says concerning sufferings of Christ, "For unto us it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, that he would allow us to suffer for him a little, who suffered for us infinitely on the cross. And for God, who gave his only begotten Son to us, to take something back from us, is deeply moving." And if we do not give to God, that is why I look at a person and wonder if that person is a child of God. And God knows, but he expects me to wonder if you are a child of God. Let me give you two scriptures. You'll find it in James and in the first epistle of John. It says, if a brother or sister be naked and in lack of daily food, and one of you know that, and you say to him, be warmed and filled, and give him nothing, how does the love of God, how does faith abide in you? God says, I can't answer the question. And this is what the first epistle of John says, if any man behold his brother or sister in need, and shut up his compassion from him, how does the love of God dwell in him? How? You can't answer that question. And therefore, we love him because he first loved us, and we give back to him as Zacchaeus did because he first gave to us. And that which is a grasping hand, when God saves you, if you are genuinely saved, it becomes an open hand. Zacchaeus, getting everything. But Zacchaeus, when salvation came to his house, he gave everything. And that is what God is looking for. And what is the distinctive among the assembly? Well, a second distinctive is this. They never talk about money as well. And I never have, you see. But you asked me to, and so that is a double distinctive today. But now you know and you understand what God expects of you. And God holds you responsible. And if you say, why did he speak on that subject? It is because you asked me to. And now, time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, for the great honor of giving back to thee, we thank you. We read in thy word, all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given. What a shame! All things come of thee, and of thine own have we not given to thee. And thou dost ask the question, will a man rob God? Our Father, forgive us for such thoughts, and if there is a niggardly, stingy spirit within us, forgive. Let us be like those of Macedonia, who, out of their deep poverty, gave with liberality, and first they gave themselves to you, and then they gave of their substance. So, Father, we are thankful for the free gift of God. We are aware that nothing that we can give, nothing that we can do, will make us acceptable in thy sight. But having been saved, having been given a free gift from God, having taken that, how much do you expect of us? So, Father, we who have received you, we thank you for the privilege of giving, and let us give in a worthy manner. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.